Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, October 30th, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page with education. Furry fundraiser. Kissing a farm animal turns into kissing four in LSA fundraiser. Decatur. Twyla the llama was a little puzzled by all the people in masks, but she was cooperative about accepting kisses from staff members in spite of that at the Lutheran School Association on Thursday. Thanks to the restrictions of COVID-19, the students' annual fundraiser for Share the Gift had to be altered this year. Normally, the kids bring in donations of cash and gifts in exchange for non-uniform days. This has 60 kids. I do not campaign, said Al Bartleben, the winner and teacher of 5th and 6th grade social studies and religion. The kids in my homeroom just went crazy with this and had so much fun. They'd bring in $20, $30, and then they would tease me about it. It's been really good because we couldn't do a lot of fun stuff because of COVID restrictions. So this has been really good, and it's for a great cause. Bartleben had to kiss all four animals, Twyla the llama, Rosie the miniature horse, both provided by Jay Sandstrom and her parents, Randy and Lee Snyder. The goats named Oreo and Butterscotch, provided by Amber and Jay Billingsley, and their daughters Myra, Audrey, and Ruby. Bartleben raised $1,485.33. Second place finisher Amy Yusko's total was $1,260. I got to kiss the miniature horse, so that was pretty exciting, Yusko said. It was not as scary as I thought it was going to be. They're cute. They're easy to kiss, you know? They're kind of cuddly, she said. Thursday was Dress Like an Animal or a Farmer Day, and Yusko was resplendent in a cow costume. She had promised her students to do that for the occasion. She teaches junior and senior high history and geography. I didn't campaign too much, but I did bribe the kids with candy. If they donated to my jar, I told them I would dress up like this, Yusko said, laughing. The school started out with 10 candidates for the honor of kissing an animal, eliminating those with the lowest totals weekly until they were down to the top three, with the third place ending in a tie until the last minute. Third and fourth place finishers, the Reverend Bill Gruninger and elementary principal director Joel Witt, had a playful back and forth on Facebook, each encouraging everyone to donate to the other's jar, even going so far as to make campaign ad videos. We're the losers of the winners, Witt joked. I was inspired by the politics of today, Gruninger said. I wanted to make sure our students know who really loves animals and deserves to kiss the animals, and I was just trying to make sure that the truth was revealed. The truth needs to be shared, no matter what the truth is, he said. I was just so overwhelmed with Bill's advocating for me, Witt said, keeping a straight face with some effort. It merited a response, so mine was simply an outpouring of love for Bill as a response to what he'd done for me. And the large front page picture shows instructor at Al Bartleben gets a kiss from Twyla the llama on Thursday in the gymnasium at LSA. You can see, visit herald-review.com to see a video of the event. And another picture of instructor Al Bartleben reacting after a kiss from Twyla the llama on Thursday in the gymnasium at LSA. The event was a fundraiser. Helpers get to keep Christmas giving going. Donors give $10,000 after COVID hampers Barbie's fundraising. Decatur, yes. Vinny and Deborah Barbie, their really is a Santa Claus, or at least very generous donors who are stepping up with a $10,000 gift to help the Barbies feed the homeless and pay for their annual toy drive to help needy families. The Barbies are known for their program of food philanthropy in staging regular feedings for the homeless and their Christmas outreach to brighten the festive season. But their fundraising efforts, such as car shows and selling their special recipe barbecue sandwiches at major events like Decatur Celebration, have been crippled this year by COVID-19. The Barbies had pledged to try and keep doing what they could to fund everything, but had serious doubts. For example, they could come up with the $5,000 alone that the toy drive typically costs. And then they got a call from the Community Foundation of Macon County announcing the $10,000 check. It's coming from a new foundation philanthropy arm called the Racial Equity Fund, and the money will be split between $6,000 for the toy drive and $4,000 to feed the homeless. The foundation's rules don't allow to make gifts to individuals, but after speaking to the Barbies, it was arranged that the toy money will be gifted to the Church of the Living God, PGT Temple 1. The church will oversee the fund's distribution as the Barbies identify families in need who require some help making Christmas happen for their children. The $4,000 to feed the homeless will go to the Water Street Mission, the scene of many of the Barbies' events to feed the hungry. The mission will work with a couple to decide how best to spend the money and do the most good. I'm just so proud that people have recognized what we are doing and want to support it, said Vinnie Barbie. This money is going to be a big help to families in our community, and for it to come from people in the community, that is really, really great, he said. More specifically, it's coming from Doug and Peg Schmalz, who have created a donor-advised fund in care of the Community Foundation. Doug called me after reading articles about the Barbies in the Herald and Review, said Missy Batman, a foundation vice president. He said the Barbies have done great work for years and felt really badly about what was going on, and said, what can we do to help? And he wanted to make sure those good works and activities can continue, even in the face of COVID. Natalie Beck, president of the Community Fund, said the donations are being made specifically in honor of the Barbies and reflect the impact the couple's personal brand of philanthropy has had on the Decatur community for 20 years. They are amazingly generous people and have done great work here, she said. And the picture that accompanies this article is on the front page, and it shows Deborah Barbie gets some assistance from volunteers Mia Collier and Daniel Bennett in filling a plate full of turkey and all the trimmings, and this is from 2003 at the Water Street Mission. Barbie and her husband Vinny have been serving the meal for 9 years. COVID, local and state. Mitigation going to hurt in Logan County. Lincoln, Springfield hit with restrictions. Macon County adds death. Decatur, a region stretching from Logan County through Springfield to the Mississippi River, on Thursday became the latest to face new restrictions because of rising COVID case numbers. Business owners, still recovering from measures put in place last spring, say they're worried about the long-term impact. It's going to hurt, said Martin Leon, owner of the Lincoln restaurant El Mazatlan. When we first shut down the first couple of months, we struggled with to-go orders because there weren't a lot of people ordering from us. When we opened back up, business improved significantly. When days are cold, we feel that people don't get out as much because people are afraid to go inside the restaurant. The restrictions for Region 3 prohibit indoor bar and restaurant service, closes those establishments at 11 p.m. and limits the rise, or excuse me, the size of gatherings to 25 people or 25% of a room's capacity. It is the 9th of the 11 COVID-19 monitoring areas to be placed under resurgence mitigations to slow the spread of the coronavirus. The region has had a 7-day rolling positivity rate of 8% or above for 3 straight days, beyond the threshold set by the state. The rate was 8.8% on Thursday. The restrictions are lifted when rates improve. Something has got to give, and these mitigations aim to cut down on the high-risk activities until we bring down the positivity rate in an area once again, said Governor J.B. Pritzker at a press conference. When every single metric and every single corner of the state is trending poorly, we have to take meaningful action to keep our people safe. The mitigations do not apply to schools or polling places. Logan County Health Department Administrator Don Cavey said the goal is to make sure that everybody uses common sense and follows through accordingly. Hopefully this will be temporary and we can get through this phase here fairly soon, he said. Decatur region heading toward list. The Region 3 rules kick in at 12:01 a.m. on Sunday. The area includes Hancock, Adams, Pike, Calhoun, Jersey, Green, Scott, Brown, Schuyler, Cass, Morgan, Macoupin, Montgomery, Christian, Sangamon, Logan, Menard, and Mason counties. The designation is the first time a Central Illinois region has had restrictions in place. The regional approach was adopted after Illinois instituted closures of non-essential businesses and other activities last spring. Region 6, which includes Decatur, Champaign-Urbana, Danville, and Charleston, spent its second straight day Thursday above 8% positivity, meaning it would trigger mitigation as early as Friday if it does not decrease. Region 2, which includes Bloomington, Normal, and Peoria, is the lone region under 8%. Macon County health officials on Thursday announced another coronavirus-related death, a man in his 30s, and 75 new positive cases. To date, the county has reported 3,407 cases. Of those, 2,105 residents have been released from isolation. 1,210 remain in isolation. 34 are hospitalized, and 58 have died. The Illinois Department of Public Health on Thursday reported 6,363 new confirmed cases of coronavirus disease, including 56 additional deaths. Currently, IDPH is reporting a total of 395,458 cases, including 9,675 deaths. Republicans push for transparency. Republicans in recent days have pushed back on bar and restaurant closures, requesting the governor share more in-depth data on contact tracing that shows closing bars and restaurants will help curb spread. One of my major complaints is that I think the governor is focused so much on the health side of COVID and has neglected the economic cost of COVID. Time and time again, State Representative Tim Butler, Republican of Springfield, said in a news conference following the governor's COVID-19 update. He was joined by other lawmakers from Region 3 who said they have requested contact tracing data but have not received it. Butler said he tested positive for COVID-19 on Saturday but has not been contacted by any contact tracers. They argued the main spreader of the virus is private gatherings, which cannot be regulated. They called on Democratic legislative leaders to reconvene the General Assembly, and they also called on the governor to work with lawmakers. Pritzker on Wednesday said the state would start sharing contact tracing data in the coming days. The governor's office distributed a graphic on October 20th showing 2,300 of 17,939 contacted COVID-19 positive individuals said they had been at a bar or restaurant within 14 days prior to diagnosis. That was second to 2,639 in the category of other, which included social gatherings such as weddings, parties, and more. The governor's office said the report included data from 69 of 97 health departments. While Pritzker said it is often impossible to pinpoint where people were when they caught COVID-19, we can tell if you have multiple cases that were in a certain place at a certain time, he said, which could point to an outbreak. Pritzker said even without contact tracing data, studies show the virus is more likely to spread in restaurants. Election 2020. Wagoner, Reuter seek Macon State's attorney post. Decatur. The two seasoned lawyers who want voters to pick them as the next Macon County State's attorney share long to-do lists with some remarkable similarities. Both Republican candidate Scott Reuter and his Democratic rival, Tammy Wagoner, critique the current atmosphere in the office. Reuter calls it a malaise, while Wagoner said the work environment under current Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott, who isn't running for re-election, hasn't always been as positive. And I think the first thing we've got to do is let people in the office know that we are going to work together, said Wagoner, 49. We're going to get through the county's current budget crisis. We're going to get through the backlog of court cases. Reuter said making sure the office worked well was the first step in rebuilding public trust in a legal system where fairness and equal treatment must be job one. One big area I think needs to be addressed pretty early on is gaining people's trust in the office, added Reuter, 61. We regain that trust and we get the public's cooperation, and that will result in successful prosecutions. Fighting gun crime in the face of a sharp uptick in firearm violence in Decatur is another agenda item on both candidates' priority list. Reuter doesn't like the term gun violence, however. He said the problem is not the gun, but the person on the other end who is misusing it for the purposes of doing harm. And people misusing firearms in violent ways is obviously a big issue that needs to be addressed, he said. Wagoner takes a view, also shared by Reuter, that violent gun-related crime sends a bad signal about the quality of life here and serves to drag down the city's image. She said people looking to move here or create a business here will think twice when Google search pops up with news of the latest killings, woundings, and shootings. So we've got to figure out a way to get that under control for the benefit of us all, she said. Both lawyers also point out, however, that there is more to the job than just wielding a big stick to metaphorically beat over the heads of evildoers. Reuter said justice must be tempered with mercy, and that can mean everything from not forgetting we still have an opioid crisis, blighting lives, to looking at ways to keep children from falling into careers of crime. Reuter said people must be shown the criminal justice system is fair and free of racism at a time of heightened concern about minorities receiving a fair shake. As much as I can as a prosecutor, I will talk about cases and be open about cases, he said. I want people to see the process will work the way it's supposed to. Wagoner said with great Power comes great responsibility, and she has no doubt the state's attorney's office does hold immense influence over the lives of individuals who come into contact with it. But it's not all about sending people to prison, she said. It's also about helping people become better people, perhaps by diverting them away from the prison system and toward more community-based sentences where they can get the treatment they need. Wagner said society will benefit more in the long run by helping those who can be helped to become productive members of society with a sense of self-esteem and self-worth. The question remains for voters to decide who is better to achieve goals both candidates admit are lofty and difficult, as they are worthwhile. Reuter points to his long track record of service working both sides of the legal street, prosecution and defense. Married with two children, he served as state's attorney from 2000 to 2004 and has been with the Macon County Public Defender's Office for the past 15 years. Reuter said sitting behind the defense table has broadened his outlook and changed his attitude as a lawyer, offering him a keener sense of perspective on the whole legal process. I think the trust that I've built up in that capacity will go a long way towards opening doors that may not be available to others with elements of the community that are underrepresented in the criminal justice system, he added. Do I think my experience will make a better prosecutor? Make me a better prosecutor? Absolutely. Wagner, also married with two children, has recently been working as an assistant state's attorney in both Moultrie and McLean counties and has previously done the same job in Macon County. And why she is the best person to become the new Macon County state's attorney, she replied, because I want to. I know that sounds really simplistic, but I love this job, and I'm very passionate about what I do, and I'm very passionate about making sure the people who work with me have that same feeling. And there are two pictures, just headshots of Reuter and Wagner. In more local and state news on page A3, every bowl counts. Good Samaritan Inn ready for empty chili bowl fundraiser. Decatur, one of the mottos of the Good Samaritan Inn is every bowl counts, with a goal to make sure everyone has something to eat. Its popular fundraiser, Empty Chili Bowl, reaches out to the community and the ones that don't always visit the agency and still want to help. This year's Empty Chili Bowl will be a drive-through event from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November 17th at the Good Samaritan Inn. For $5, the meal includes either a turkey and white bean chili or a veggie chili, cornbread, and a cookie. If you don't want chili, we have mac and cheese, said Mickey Besser, executive director of the Good Samaritan Inn. You can also order extra cookies and cornbread. The menu is available on the Good Samaritan website. The handmade bowls are a special treat. For an extra $10, crafted bowls created by Millikan University students and other local artists can be delivered with the meals. Another addition to the shopping list is Good Samaritan face mask for $12. Businesses have another option for those wanting to feed their employees while helping the community. Personnel can pre-order an office chili lunch to be delivered during the designated time. Business orders must be placed by November 13th. Sponsorships are available with monetary donations, depending on the level. Businesses can receive lunches, bowls, masks, and marketing and media materials. All the different sponsorships get their own package, Beeser said. Another addition to this year's event is the talent. In the past, the Chili Bowl fundraiser was held at Millikan University with bowls made by art students. This year, the bowls are made by local artists, including Millikan University students, individual potters, instructors, and art businesses. It's not just Decatur, Besser said. People around Central Illinois are supporting us in this event. For For previous chili events, the Millikan University ceramics class could use an entire semester creating nearly 200 bowls, according to Jennifer Holt, assistant professor of art. For this year's event, they have reached out to the pottery community. Alums are making some too, Holt said. Three Millikan students and their professor will be making approximately 100 bowls. The students each put their own individual style into the artwork. They have free rein to make whatever type of bowl they would like, Holt said, as long as it is a bowl. The students create the piece from start to finish, including mixing and preparing the clay, molding and firing the bowls, choosing the paint, and adding the finishing touches. The $10 price is a bargain, according to Holt. It's a great deal for a handmade bowl, she said. The artistic pieces are not only a good experience for the students, but also an opportunity to give back to the community. That's why we do it, Holt said. It's a way for the students to use their skills to help others. Funds from the event will go toward the Good Samaritan Inn and the Noon Meal Program. It's the most recognizable program that we have, Besser said. We feed anyone who asks. Anyone who is hungry can come and get a meal. No questions asked. The Good Samaritan Inn also provides job training. Programs include a garden, resume building, and job preparation classes. According to Besser, the number of clients and visitors has risen slightly since COVID-19 altered the community. We served lunch every day. However, the staff did have to adapt. The lunch meals were served to go. Instead of sitting down, they would come to the door and we would hand them a meal, Besser said. They could either go eat outside or take it to go. Good Samaritan recently opened their doors again, but with limited seating. In the past, they could seat 150 people. Now, only 40 are allowed in the dining area at a time. We want to make sure we have a place for people when it gets cold, Besser said. So we seat 40 people at a time and then turn the dining room over every half hour. Besser relied on the community for events such as the empty chili bowl to help fund the daily meals. And we have such a giving community, she said. Decatur has been such a great support of the inn and what we are doing here. And you can order a chili meal, visit goodsamaritaninn.org/chili bowl. And the picture that accompanies shows Charlie Brown volunteering on Thursday at the Good Samaritan Inn. The group is with the Gold Wing Road Riders Association in Decatur and regularly volunteers at the Good Samaritan Inn. We see a kitchen and packages, boxes of food being prepared. Everyone's in masks and hairnets and aprons. Visit www.herald-review.com to see a video about the Empty Chili Bowl event coming on November 17th, 2020. We'll take a short break now. That's all the time we have for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated October 30th, 2020. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.